Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast, the movie talk show podcast that comes your way every Saturday, whether you're ready for it or not, in our quest to take over the world.
Ooh, much like a scanner.
That's right. It's strange how that kind of leads into tonight's movie. But first of all, introductions.
None of us are actually talking right now.
You're just hearing us.
Yeah.
These are the internet radio superstars.
Holly.
Michaela.
Sean.
And I'm Colin.
That old urge to say your name for some reason.
What?
I did. I don't know.
It's because of the scanning.
We're all scanning each other. Everyone wants to be me.
You're just scanning. That's what it is. You've just been scanning us for the past 8 years.
Well, before this episode, we did establish that I'm a sea witch. So
you are a sea witch. Yeah. You're a sea witch. You're a
feral swamp witch.
I was going to say a wood goblin, which is not correct. But that's the first thing that came to
my head. I feel like that would be like my little pet would be a wood goblin.
Oh, right.
You know?
Right.
You 100%. That's my Igor as a wood goblin.
Wood goblin.
100% have a wood goblin.
Infested with wood goblins.
That needs to be a movie title right there.
Yeah. The wood goblin. All right.
Well, tonight we watched a movie that was chosen by
Sean or Holly or wood goblin.
The wood goblins.
Yeah. Who
are you?
Who scanned you to pick this movie, Sean?
David Cronenberg himself scanned me to pick this movie tonight. We watched Scanners. Mm-hmm. From 1981.
Classic. Cool. I mean, it's iconic.
It's Scanners. If nothing else, it's iconic for one scene. But
is it because it's memed? It's just
lifetime
everywhere.
Lifetime Achievement
everywhere.
Award and gifts.
Honestly,
I think this predates the meme. It's just the exploding head movie. Everyone knows this.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah, everyone knows that moment.
Is it the first movie with an exploding head? Like a graphic, gory, exploding head?
On this level, probably.
I mean, it's the most well-known. It's the first one I know of.
It's so colloquial, to scan someone is like a verb that's used in our I'll scanners them. Gilmore Girls have a line like that? Give them the scanners treatment or something like
probably.
That. Like it pops up
everywhere as a pop culture reference. It was a hit. I think it was Cronenberg's first real hit. Because what did he do?
Was it a hit off the bat? I read that it was kind of met with lukewarm reviews. It wasn't.
I mean, I remember when I was a kid, I knew of Scanner. You're exposed to this.
Because Dead Zone is after this, right?
Dead Zone's after this. Videodrome is 2 years after this.
I feel like its fame is on par with Pod People. You know,
it's what we all know, right?
Yeah.
The other out there.
But he had been doing movies before this. Yeah. And now when we look at them, Shivers we did on the show, Rabid we did on the show. We haven't done The Brood.
No, I haven't.
But I want to say this was...
what is The Brood about? I have no idea.
Have you not seen the famous clip from The Brood of her licking the blood off the babies?
No.
Or would she?
No.
She opens her dress and she's got all the tumors.
No. Yeah. I have not seen this. Oh. Okay. Well,
little mutant babies.
Cronenberg applied to mutant baby fear of childhood.
Pharmacology in pregnancy run amok. I mean, there's
consistent themes from David Cronenberg.
If did Rosemary's Baby, it would be The Brood.
That's Oliver Reed and Samantha Egger, right? Who was in The Manitou, who we talked about.
Oh, yeah. Penny Witch's Sally 2 to you, Colin.
Penny Witch's Sally 2. She flew across the room. He had done those other films. This one came out from Avco Embassy, which was a distributor back then that did I think actually maybe they were financing, but I mean they were in the Wes Craven business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right? Oh yeah, we talked about this. They did the three picture thing with John Carpenter as well.
Yeah,
they had a deal, but then he fucking broke it off, I think.
No, well he did The Fog for them and he did Escape from New York.
Yeah, I think it was a three picture deal.
I think maybe the budget for two of them was rolled into Escape from New York.
Yes, I think something like that. They ended up being real weird where they got out of the deal early, I think.
Yeah.
I think
Did they get out of the deal or did John Carpenter get out of the deal?
I think they made a deal where you make this movie and we'll call it even.
Okay.
I think is what it was.
What movie was that?
Escape from New York. Well, I mean, the only two that he did for them was... Yeah, because he had done...
Two.
Yeah, The Fog and Escape from New York.
Which came first?
The fog. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then they agree that Escape from New York would be the one, and we're just like, all right, we're out of the deal. This
and
will be the
Craven did Deadly Blessing.
And I would say it was theirs. The rest of the movie
and
money
Swamp
went.
Swamp Thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now this is, I mean, because it sounds like we're talking about the Alive Films thing that happened in the 80s mm-hmm. when they did Prince of Darkness and
right.
They Live, John Carpenter and Shocker and People Under Stairs.
Maybe
but
that
this
was
that's like
a
the
dark era.
Yeah, yeah. I know. This was the yeah. first yeah, one, and they is, and they had Avco Embassy had Cronenberg and The Howling. Right. We talked yes. about didn't we? This sounds like we had this
we've
conversation.
Had these conversations.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
I mean, we've been doing this for 30 years. I'm sure we've had
dog years. We definitely have.
Yes.
And so Cronenberg, after this, I think this like established him. And then, I mean, Videodrome is a universal picture.
Yep.
So he goes Hollywood.
He does that. And yeah, you can see a lot of this, sort of the beginnings of Videodrome in this movie.
Cronenberg goes Hollywood.
yeah. There's a lot
extra,
of,
extra.
That's the documentary right there.
Is this the most Canadian of Cronenberg's movies? That can't be true.
I don't think so. No, I didn't feel the Canadian.
What was the one in the apartment building? That one
Shivers?
Felt pretty Canadian.
I think it was
yeah,
Shivers.
That one
Shivers,
felt yeah. pretty Canadian.
That felt pretty Canadian.
Rabbit, eventually, there's people running amok on the streets of wherever it is, Toronto mm-hmm. or whatever. This one's yeah. Montreal.
Yeah. No, I didn't quite get like that. Like, oh, that's Canadian. Mm-hmm. Like, that yeah. moment never happened.
There was a few, like, Canadian accents
yeah,
slipping out.
They slipped. Yeah.
Other than that, the ambiance wasn't very Canada.
Right.
I don't think.
It's all, like, just all Cronenberg movies, he seems to have that shot where he's, like, on the street looking up at these buildings that are, like, dirty brick buildings.
He loves a warehouse.
Yes.
He really does. Yeah.
It's never, like, a, you know, nice looking.
No,
you know,
never.
It's always.
Although maybe like, things weren't nice looking yeah. back in the yeah. 1980s.
Like, every building they showed in this movie, I was like, you could turn that into some serious luxury lofts.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, just like, yeah, that's a redevelopment yeah. program right there.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's the scene, okay? So yeah. I guess we'll skip ahead in the movie because we got to talk about the scene. This is the reason anyone has heard of Scanners.
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Honestly, it shows up pretty early in the movie.
Yeah, it's yes. like the second or third scene.
Right.
In the
it
movie.
Was almost, I think it was set up as the first scene, but they moved it back in the movie based on test screenings. So
watching
this was almost
it,
your opener.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought that's how the movie started out. Right. I thought
same.
That was the, right? Yeah.
Be
I was surprised
opener.
When watching yeah. it again that it didn't start mm-hmm. out with that. Mm-hmm. But it's, so what is the scene? The scene.
The scene is that they are they're in an auditorium. It's like someone's giving a lecture, but it's like they're revealing that scanners exist.
And what is so, a scanner?
A scanner is a person who is born with telepathic and telekinetic abilities
okay.
in order to read people's minds and also affect them in certain ways.
It was David Cronenberg's mind control movie.
Yes yeah. basically. Mm-hmm. And so we have a scanner who's up front. He's like, I'd like to show you my abilities, but I need a volunteer.
I love this guy, by the way.
The glasses guy who gets
yeah,
his head
because he's very much just like, let's do this. I don't care who you are. Like
right,
I don't care.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Just get up here. Let's do this.
Yeah, he's a little nervous, a little socially. Like it's like his first time being out. It's like he got the okay to explain his abilities,
yeah.
and he's very nervous about it.
What was the point of this demonstration?
Well, yeah, I think they.
What would it take for you to believe that this is real?
Yeah.
yeah.
I feel like I'd have to see it with my own eyes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
But even still, if I was sitting really far back in the auditorium, I might be doubting
no,
it.
No, I'd want to be first
yeah,
row.
Yeah, exactly.
If I knew yeah. if they're like, you come in here, he's mm-hmm. a scanner, and this is what he's capable of doing.
Right.
I want to be front row
yes.
so that the magician cannot pull a trick
exactly.
on me.
Exactly. I need, like, no tablecloth even on
nope.
his table. Nothing.
No.
Yeah, hands yeah. in the air. Like,
what was,
you know?
I mean, I guess what,
I would have to
we,
see
but
everything.
It was, I think it was,
what was it
I think
supposed
it was
to be?
Well, I think it was corporations or people who would be specifically
interested.
Investors? Investors.
Yes.
Influencers.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, basically. Investors and influencers.
Yeah, doctors.
People who would be able
like
to...
People in the either, education world, like people
right.
of influence.
Yeah,
yeah.
People this could affect and who it could be used upon, who could invest money. I think that's
yeah.
basically what they're going for. Cause
so what? But what it was supposed to be was just this guy was going to pick people out of the crowd at random and somehow
read their minds,
know,
basically.
Yeah, read their
yeah.
minds.
Yeah. Literally, yeah. He literally said, like, my goal is to read all of you if I can.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that will demonstrate that I have this ability, and then we're going to go from there, probably in little focus groups afterwards.
Right,
but
and discuss it and everything.
He calls a rando from the crowd who volunteers.
Yes, right? Michael Ironside is our rando.
yeah. Michael, I think this is his first movie.
Yeah, which, I mean, I understand. Like, I was like, okay, I get it. These people are in there like, okay, I need to see this to believe it. But at the same time, he's like, just, you already know this, but fair warning, this is going to hurt and it's not going to be pleasant. And there all these things can happen. So when no one raises their hand, I'm not really surprised.
Exactly.
I didn't know if he was telling people this would happen to you or if, like, this is, it's not a pleasant experience if he was talking about himself.
No, to them.
No, I think he was telling them. Yeah. It's like scanning is painful. Okay. Yeah. It can result in nosebleeds. It can result in nausea. It can result in headaches, ringing in the ears.
You're definitely getting brain damage every time you get scanned, right? It's definitely.
There's so many nosebleeds in this movie. Yeah. What was the other movie? It's Firestarter. Actually, you know, there's a scene that I expected in this movie that never happened. It's from Firestarter with all the pregnant moms in a room, in, you know, in the shop. Because I think, isn't that how Charlie gets her special powers?
Yeah.
She's the kid of these two medical experiments.
Kids that did a medical experiment for money. And,
For some reason, I thought that scene was
When
movie.
You mentioned a bunch of pregnant women, all I could think of was The Shaft when they end up in the elevator. And they all get... dropped and then all the babies drop out of their wombs, which never happened in the movie. That was just us.
But isn't that like the universal sign that there is something happening mentally? That's
the nosebleed.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, fucking Stranger Things.
We've seen that a million times.
This may be. It said something in there. This may be one of the maybe first instances in.
It's before Firestarter, isn't it?
When was Firestarter?
Firestarter was 84.
This is 81. So definitely. But one of the earliest instances where your nose bleeds when you're doing something like
that. So it's aneurysms, brain damage, you're getting this.
Which is great. Like, it works.
Yeah.
And it continues to work. Look at Stranger Things.
Yeah. Like, well, they're doing it because they saw Firestarter and scanners.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing that they always do to demonstrate telepathy is, like, someone puts their hand up, too. I like that this movie resists doing that. Like,
Toward the end, because
it's mostly facial.
You have to Professor X it and focus it with your hand.
There is so much face acting in this movie.
Well, it happens in that scene, right?
Yeah. And you know that it was, like, we're looking at one take.
Yeah.
You know they did so many takes of, like, I need your O face right now, and I need it hardcore.
Yeah.
You're feeling something? It's burning. Yeah. It's burning.
So many people came in this movie.
No, while we were watching it, I resisted the urge to be like, now you guys know what we see.
Exactly. It's just like, is this what we look like?
Yes.
And they're like, yes, exactly what you look like. You should be embarrassed.
You should be.
We apologize. We also kind of can't help it, but whatever.
I don't accept that apology.
Okay, that's fine.
Well, what happens to this unfortunate soul this movie?
Unfortunate soul thinks he's going to scan Michael Ironside. But
he thinks he's just a normie. But
Michael Ironside scans him. And gets intense.
In a face battle.
Right, but you can see that Michael Ironside is enjoying it quite a lot more than this other man
really
is. He's having a good time. The other one, the other guy is getting invaded, and he did not expect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And,
his defenses were down.
His defenses were down.
This is a rape scene.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a 100% mind rape.
Yes. Mind rape.
100%.
Copyright 2024. I don't think we'll ever use it, but yes. We'll have it under, you got to get that copyright in there just to have it.
We'll squat on it. If someone wants to buy it from us, then we'll sell it to them.
You can't really sell it as the mind rapers.
No.
I guess
Scanners comes across much better than mind rapers.
I think he originally called it The Sensitives.
The Sensitives,
that's so much worse.
There was a reference in a book that he lay in Naked Lunch. There's a reference to the Senders, which are kind of the same type of people, which he would years later end up adapting himself.
Naked Lunch.
Lunch. He would adapt Naked Lunch later, but in that book, there was a reference to Senders.
Okay. Yeah. There was a movie called The Sender at one point. Now I'm thinking about all these movies around this era, like Patrick,
that's been on my freak show list for so long.
Yeah.
What's Patrick?
It's a psychic boy movie. So it's like, it's like Carrie, but with a boy.
Yep.
But they can name Patrick.
You made that point. You're like, it's psychic, like, boy movie.
How many do you know? Like, how many psychic boy movies do you know? They're all psychic girl movies.
Okay. That's true. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
That's what it's the one. It's the Friday the 13th part two of psychic movies.
Okay.
And it's like Australian or something, right?
Yeah.
And there's a remake. Okay. That's in the weeds.
So how do you think they pulled off the infamous
head exploding scene.
Yeah, because that's the poster. Yeah. Well, the poster shows Michael Ironside, yeah. But
at the end of this movie.
But the poster had like a great, you know, like at 10 seconds, you feel the pressure. At 20 seconds, yeah. you know, at 30 seconds,
your head explodes. 247 of them are scanners.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's one of the things. Oh, okay. That's the above the thing, and
that's
like,
not that many. I'm not worried.
Right. Well, yeah,
that's really
but
not
they're
that
very
many.
Powerful.
They can make your head explode.
I feel like we could get them to all turn on each other pretty easily.
I mean, that's when we kind
of
get.
And according to this movie, most of them live in close proximity. To
yeah,
each
exactly.
Other.
Yeah,
yeah. If there's only 247, a lot of them live in this one area.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting to look back on something like this, having lived through X-Men movies. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Where, it's like in the entire world, like scanners just fill up New Milford.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple houses with scanners, and like that's it. You don't really
my graduating
worry about
class
them.
Was bigger than that. You know.
They were all scanners. Yeah.
Do they kind of address that like later in the movie? Like the idea that scanners are created by like this pharmaceutical thing, right? Like,
was it
only localized to this area?
Maybe. Well, I think it came from that doctor and it spread out from, that's why there's so little of them, because it spread out from that little area. Ooh. So there are that many and that's... Mm-hmm.
It's like when like a fertility doctor puts his own sperm in there.
Yeah, that guy.
That's what happened. Some doctor did that with the scanners in
so
town.
Yeah, so yes. All his 235 children are within a certain yes. area, yeah.
Did you
that makes sense.
I'm curious of, you know, it's like what inspires, you know, these stories, but mm-hmm. I remember there were news stories about like, you know, medical new drugs that created side effects and like mm-hmm.
sure,
birth defects
like
and stuff like that.
Babies.
Was that what it?
Like that. Okay. That's something like that.
Yeah,
that
and that was
it,
like
yeah.
in the yes. zeitgeist in the late
right,
70s.
Right, because they gave that to women to fend off morning sickness, and they found out it caused deformations and
oh, God.
Babies. And okay. yeah, that's why thalidomide babies is. Was a thing back in the
that's
day.
So fucked
so
up.
So maybe yeah. Firestarter really? And scanners
I
were
think,
both
yeah,
from that.
Yeah, kind of come from that
yeah.
kind of era and mm-hmm. that, you know, what was going on in, you know, in the news at that point.
And you were asking how they pulled off the head exploding?
Yeah, how do you think
did
they
you
pulled off
the head exploding? Dick Smith, the legendary Dick yes. Smith.
Love it.
Was the, he was a consultant, right?
A consultant, but he had a big hand in creating... the major effects.
It's a great. I mean,
is it
you
just
know,
like a balloon filled with meat or something?
It looked
this
like.
This is why
it.
I'm asking.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
do you think?
Like,
yeah, like,
meat balloon.
Yeah, I would think it's some sort of like air compressor that.
Okay.
That it's maybe a balloon or maybe
we've got
just,
air compressor.
Yeah, I think there's an air compressor involved.
Okay, and you
yeah.
think, balloon. You think
balloon.
Meat balloon?
Meat balloon.
yeah.
Team meat
so
balloon.
Not like an explosion or something. I don't know if they were pulling it or blowing, you know, air compressor
what,
at the same time.
I think it's from underneath. I think it's an air
yeah.
compressor.
Inside like the like, shell of the body and
yeah.
just his head. I mean, it flops out all of it. I mean,
they
it's
tried,
great.
They tried many things that
okay.
didn't quite live up to what they wanted. So eventually the special effects guy, not Dick Smith, but one of the special effects guys was like, roll the cameras, leave the room, and then he shot the back of this dude's head off with a shotgun. That is a shotgun blast to a dummy filled with bits and goo.
Gotcha.
Oh.
That's awesome.
So there you go.
That yeah. sounds super dangerous.
He's like, fuck it, we're not getting
awesome.
What we want. Everyone, leave, yeah. everyone, leave yep. the room, let the cameras roll, I'm going to blow this dude's head yeah. off.
Do you think he said, genius. I can get it in one shot?
yeah.
Do you think he said that?
He's like, I can
and
name
like,
that tune
lie.
In one note.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Just you wait. Yeah.
It's so shocking. I mean, it is like one of the greatest moments mm-hmm. in movie history.
Yeah.
And I suppose once you have that, it really doesn't matter about the movie around it. People are going to see it.
You
right?
would, yeah. You or, would hope there's a little more substance to it. But yeah, once yeah. you have that, that's
like
a
this
lot.
Dude's head explodes. I mean, what? Maniac had blown someone's head off.
Yeah. yeah. That one's
the
really
year
that's
before
a watermelon
this.
In that movie, I think.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Was it?
I think
I don't
so.
Know.
The Tom Savini mm-hmm. head exploding. That one was pretty good too, but I think mm-hmm. this one is better.
Yeah.
This one look like I've seen some shit. I've seen a head get blown up from a shotgun blast. Mm-hmm. It's pretty comparable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's amazing. So, yeah. and that reveals, I guess, that there are scanners, and then this group arrests the guy.
They arrest Michael Ironside. They try and give him some drugs to calm him down. That doesn't work. He's got
yeah, because now he can. You know, I mean, he's doing his scanner thing. He can yeah. take over people's mind like Professor X and get
yep.
them to crash their cars and burn them up and
right?
shoot other people to get away.
And inject their own hands.
So who is this guy? And Michael Ironside, obviously, do we need to, like...
Michael Ironside.
Yeah,
he's been on the Total Recall.
Yeah, he's, may he live in infamy, and may you all know Michael Ironside if you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How dare you?
You've definitely seen his face. You just probably don't realize it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, he's always... Oh, that guy.
What's his most famous movie? I mean, is it this? Everybody knows him from the poster of Scanner. That had to be great for his career.
Right, but he's done so much, like, let us all not forget the veiny sex horse from the one, was it Prom Night 2?
Oh, yeah.
Which he is also in.
Yeah, he's also in that.
But, again, you all know what I mean when I say veiny sex horse.
Yes, that scene. Yep. Can't forget that.
He's also, he's in that. Starship Troopers. He plays a pretty significant and memorable role.
Yeah, there's two Paul Verhoeven movies, right?
Yeah.
Total Recall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Total Recall. Like, God bless Michael Ironside.
He's at conventions a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Well, V, the final battle.
Everything comes back to V.
It was like a big deal when I was a kid.
Colin.
He was Ham Tyler. Yeah. He was great, though. Yeah.
Shorter list at this point.
Who wasn't?
And he was Overdog McNabb in Space Hunter Adventures in the Forbidden Zone in 3D. Everyone remembers that one, right? With Molly Ringwald's first movie? Okay. So, anyway, yeah, he's still out there, I think. Still making movies. He did Turbo Kid not too long ago.
Has he ever been
in a Rob Zombie movie? It feels like Rob Zombie would want him to be in one of his movies.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know how old he is now. I think he'll get there.
Yeah.
Where Rob Zombie's like, I need to
collect it. Sheriff
has,
or something?
No, has Quentin Tarantino collected him for a movie?
I don't think so, not yet. But he has
only got one more movie to go.
He's got a presence and a voice. And Sam Fisher in the Splinter Cell video game series that Tom Clancy's. Yeah,
this is tip of the iceberg, Michael.
I know. Yeah, he's been so much more. But this, I think, was his first launching. I mean, like I said, to be on the poster had to do great things for this guy's career. So
he was in that Black Bear movie,
was he?
Yeah.
Oh shit, that scene that looked good because that also has what's his name from
Glenn Howerton.
Yeah. I want to watch that.
Dude's still working like crazy.
Good. May he work forever.
He was in Nobody.
Which is Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Is that
too.
Just two old guys beating the shit out of each other?
He's one of the old guys at the end of the.
I might have to watch Nobody now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's his name in this?
Daryl Revick.
That's a great name.
Revick. That's a great name to shout. Revick.
It's a bad name.
Yep.
And so he is the leader of the evil Scanners, right?
Yes, he is evil Scanners.
Okay, what's the evil Scanners' motivation? What are they trying to do?
They eventually want to take over the world, as any organization would want to.
Yep, destroy the society that created them and usher in a utopia of supermen.
Yeah,
this is Magneto.
Yeah, basically.
I was actually at this part in the movie, like late in the first act, start of the second, when there's hunting of other Scanners, reminded me a lot of Looper. I thought this Looper took a lot of things from this movie, actually. Like the showdown in the farmhouse, hunting kids with telepathic powers to take over the world. Yeah. I was like, there was some visual language when the Scanners with the Lady Scanner were coming up to the farmhouse carrying their guns. I was like, wow, Ryan Johnson really likes this movie.
Yeah, Lady Scanners.
Mm-hmm. Lady Scanners, the unmade sequel that copyright 2024.
Scanner Baby. Which is funny enough because we did get sequels to this and spinoffs. Mm-hmm. We have Scanners 2 and Scanners 3, but we also get Scanner Cop and Scanner Cop 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which might be more interesting to bring to the freak show.
Have you seen any of those?
No, but I want to watch Scanner Cop it's like they had two movies and they did a spinoff called Scanner Cop. I'm like, all right, this is where we should go.
Yeah.
Like an everyday cop trying to bust criminals and abide by the law.
Is
but
it
he's
Treat
also
Williams?
A fucking scanner.
I want it to be Treat
it's
Williams.
It's not, but it's.
I don't think it has that much of a budget. I think they're pretty low budget movies.
But they are all Canadian.
Yeah, so. I remember I was working at the video store when Scanners 2 and 3. I'm like, it was years. It was the 90s, I think.
10 years later, 91 and I think 93 or 94 were those. And then after that,
directed video.
Cop.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
Wow, Scanner Cop was 94. I didn't realize it was that. I thought it was way later than that. Oh,
that's like getting Darkman sequels. It's just like it's not good. So maybe Scanner Cop's not good. I don't know, but I haven't seen it. But I'm intrigued.
Wait for it to appear on the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast.
We're gonna wait a little while, but Scanner Cop might show up.
Well, if he's the leader of the evil scanners, that means there has to be good guy scanners, and who do we have there? What's the alliance of the forces of good?
We have Dr. Ruth at Dr. Ruth, not that Dr. Ruth, this Dr. Ruth, who is played by
Patrick McGowan.
There we go.
Who I was saying, like, when we first went in, I saw his name and I'm like, oh yeah, he's the guy from the Prisoner TV show.
Oh, is he
where they
the
were
Prisoner?
Stuck on the island, that sci-fi 60s show?
Like the old one, the first one?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think he co-created and starred in it.
Oh, interesting.
And that became like a cult phenomenon.
Yeah, it did, yeah. They remade it years later. Yep. Was Jim Caviezel?
I think, yes. Okay. Yeah. In the remake. Yeah. But while I was watching the movie, he said something and I'm like, I hear that voice. I'm like, he's the fucking king in Braveheart. Mm-hmm. It was Edward the Longshanks.
Or
right?
He is indeed from Braveheart.
He's been around for a while.
He has a great presence. I like this actor.
He's like, he came off as a very good actor, but it could have been because he was paired with Stephen Lack. Is that,
yeah, that is. Yeah.
What do we think?
Comes off very robotic. I don't know if that's purposeful for this, but it
he should have never been let out of soap opera television, because that's the level he's at. Like, I don't know, that's the energy he gives me. Like, that's the height of his ability is soap opera acting. This guy is.
I think I want a little more from this.
I want a lot more.
Why does it feel like he's reading off cue cards?
It does.
It really does.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he did before or after, but
he did. I looked him up because I was like, this guy couldn't have had like a lot of.
Like, he couldn't have gone far.
He had at least two credits and won two Gemini Awards or something. I don't know what that is, but he won awards for his screen performances.
I don't know if they were going for this, but it does feel like because of what they give him later on as an explanation of what his life has been up till this point.
Yeah.
It's just like you were released at a certain point. It's almost like he's a newborn.
Yeah.
Based on what they say.
So the fact that he's so stiff, you think is a choice?
I mean,
I don't know that it's not.
Well, I would say that it's probably, he is what David Cronenberg wanted.
Yeah.
You know, he cast him because of a quality that made, you know, he has that kind of wild or wide-eyed, you know, I don't know. He seems like a little bit simple in a lot of scenes, but it's not what the character is doing, if that makes any sense.
It's very, like you said, it's very like newborn, very robotic, but it doesn't align with what's happening.
No, he seems like just...
No, not for what he's sent out to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should be a little more spy-like, a little more infiltrative. He should be a little more smooth if he's trying to get into this group and be part of them. He shouldn't come across and be like, I am me, and I need to know who your leader is.
Yeah.
Like, he does very alien and robotic, which maybe not so much. Mm-hmm. Like, at a certain point,
I want him to have more intention.
That's where I think maybe there's a failing to the movie. I get, like, you know, we see him scanning this lady. He's like a bum in the beginning of the movie, and he's scanning this lady at like
hot dog. She's looking down on him because it ain't his hot dog.
So this man makes his way through a very futuristic looking, isn't it? It's not a McDonald's. It's a restaurant.
It's just a food court.
I think it's a food court. Yeah.
Pogo dog? Was that?
Pogo dog, yeah.
Hot pogo dog. Yeah. Whatever it was. But he's stealing fries, cigarettes off people's right in front of them at this point. Yeah, he's kind of smooth, but then he does end up scanning a lady and causing her like cardiac arrest,
a seizure or something. Yeah.
Scanning
she's very uppity considering the environment the environment that she's in.
She's like, you're in a mall food court. You're in a mall food court.
There was nothing upscale about that.
No, it may look at from what we're looking at now.
Yeah. But back in 1981, it was probably like brand new. You know, this is the height of
I do miss buildings with personality.
Oh, for sure. What is he doing here?
Mm-hmm. Clutch my pearls.
So, scanning, as I understand it, they were given in the movie, is your nervous system.
Yes.
Telepathically, you link your nervous system with another human being.
Right.
So you basically become them. You feel everything, and you can influence their thoughts and actions and all this sort of
stuff. And their body.
So this guy is recruited by the doctor, Dr. Paul Ruth.
Yes.
Okay. Played by Patrick McGoohan. Yep. And so what is the doctor's, so what's the doctor's motivation?
The doctor knows about, Rivik, right?
Yes.
So he is trying to find.
He works for SetCon.
He does. Is it SetCon?
Consec.
Consec. Yes. Yep. I was going to say, I forgot the name.
SetCon, Consec.
Yeah. It's all gibberish at this point. It's
fake
all corporations.
Tech name, yeah.
So he works for Consec, and they're developing a weapons program, which they want to use scanners as weapons for infiltration. And, you know, you could. The potential for them, if you can control them, is pretty much limitless.
Yeah.
What you can do with them.
Yeah.
So they're trying to recruit them into this program. They're finding out that there is someone else on the, say, the opposing side who's also trying to recruit them for their own purposes, which ends up being Michael Ironside.
Yeah. So Revic is basically going around to all the other scanners and go, yes, like, no, you shouldn't work with the normies. You got to come and
we can rule the world.
Team.
Why would you work for them when you can rule them?
So,
but he kind of finds this one who's been, I mean, it's revealed later other information, but kind of finds this one who's
hasn't been approached yet.
Yeah, there's some who are.
This is Cameron Vale.
Yeah, there are free agent scanners out there who have not been drafted to either side.
So he's going to take it. So basically, this becomes like an assassin movie, right? Or undercover. You're going to basically go, because you have the ability that they have, you're going to go into the underground and find the head so you can take out the head of the snake. Mm-hmm. Right?
Almost, you say the head, it's almost literal at a certain point.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
There's a giant artist head.
That guy lives inside his head.
Literally.
There's so much. There's so much in that scene about that dude being in his head. It's like that. Great. Love the levels of that scene. It's like, come sit inside my head.
Mm-hmm. My big giant plaster head.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where I have a sofa.
It's like a living room.
Here's the nerves running around.
Yeah.
Literally hides in there. It's great.
Okay, so
hides in his head.
This is where I'm saying there might be a failing in the movie or the character, right? So Cameron Vale, right, is basically why? Because he goes into situations where he has to lie about, you know, I'm looking to buy this piece for my, my
apartment
in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So he adopts to the kind of covert undercover a lifestyle like fairly quickly, mm-hmm. and I'm like, but what is his stake in it? Why is he doing this?
Right,
that's a great question because I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's because it's again, if we go with the newborn thing, it feels like the first information that he is being fed is the information he's going to go with until he learns more.
So is he literally just in the who am I phase?
Basically,
they say right, because he has had unfiltered, he hears everybody's thoughts, so he hasn't had enough time for his own personality to develop.
For him to be him.
And so the doctor
I think he's taking advantage of that early on.
Yes.
Yes.
The doctor has a medicine that if he gives it to him, it quiets all this, and so he can hear his own thoughts for the first time, and then he's like, look, I can help you. I have this ephemeral.
Yes.
Great. I love... I said this on Existence. I love David Cronenberg's like tech jargon crap.
Yeah, yes.
What was the name of the company that made it?
Oh, something Amalgamite.
Yeah.
Biological
Amalgamite. Yeah.
Way better than Nerd from Spice.
Way better than Nerd. Yeah. We're going to name it Nerd and our child Dren. Fuck Spice.
So the doctor uses this, like, he's helped him, right?
Right.
And he's like,
he doesn't know anything at this point. So the doctor's bringing his influence in, is like, I can help you. And we are the good side. But Michael Ironside is the bad side.
And
so
they want to take over the world.
Yeah.
Can't be controlled. We can't just let this like new species of people run around. This is totally the X-Men.
It is.
I mean, that may just be us, like, because you can associate so much stuff with the X-Men and their stories.
But X-Men existed at this point in time.
Right. You wonder what pulls from that and what they pull from X-Men and everything. But yes.
It's X-Men if you take away any emotional stakes whatsoever. Because X-Men is all dependent on the interpersonal relationships between all the X-Men, right? That's so you put one of them at risk and then they all have investment in that character. So like, and like the relationship between Professor X and Magneto and
and the specifics and everything.
This movie just takes all that out. no emotional baggage in this movie.
I see what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. I don't think they pulled it off, but they're trying to basically they're making Dr. Ruth like the surrogate father.
Right.
So that's going to be your emotional stake is, you know, then you find out that eventually it's like, well, your father didn't tell you the entire truth.
They never do.
You know.
Biocarbon amalgamate.
Right. There we go.
Biocarbon amalgamate.
That's a great name.
like cortical systems. Mm-hmm. I still remember that one from
Medicine. Oh, yeah, cortical systems. I love cortical systems.
Antenna research. Mm-hmm.
antenna research.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The other one?
No, I agree. I'm just like, your name. Okay.
So he is sent, Cameron is sent out as an undercover secret agent to go into untold danger for motives that are, you know, I guess his, to go and find this scanner group. So how does he track them down? Close to Revic.
Where's the first place he goes? First of all, there's a very slight training scene in which they're like, here's a yoga master, stop his heart.
Yes.
This seems dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the way they set it up is the yoga master can control his bodily functions in a way that, like, science says you can't.
Right.
But he can slow his heart. So I want you.
Right. It is. This
make
is the
his
guy
heart go fast.
Everyone, every, like, you meet the spy who's the best spy ever in every movie, and he's like, he studied with this guy and this guy to learn how to slow his heart down.
Yeah.
You would think he was dead. He's like, this is the guy that those spies have trained with
to learn all this shit.
Yep. So he's supposed to be like the top yogi to be like, he can slow down his heart, he can pretend he's dead, he can control all of his body.
Him
up.
I can't even imagine getting anywhere near being able to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, the idea of being relaxed enough.
The quietness of mind and the concentration.
Yeah, fucking never. Never. I'm sorry. I could never get my mind to shut up enough.
There's nothing happening in his life.
Exactly.
That he has to push
aside. He has no anxiety.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He has nothing to control of your involuntary systems.
Yeah, but that's why we're not Navy SEALs, Holly.
They have a lot of stress. Just saying.
Maybe.
Well, again, the scene fraught with danger. The idea, I think, is that the failsafe is that because this guy can control his own biorhythms, that if you control his heart and his heart gets too fast, he will push back and take control of it. Mm-hmm. This, you know, you're like, and so more face acting is required here.
Everyone's got a shit.
Yeah.
They're shitting or coming. Sorry to put it to that, but yeah, if that's the faces they make in this movie.
And I think there was a second failsafe, which was he can administer the ephemeral that'll immediately stop the psychic link.
Yep. It's just the one session. It's like, we're going to train you to be an assassin so you can go out and kill Michael Ironside.
It's like La Femme Nikita.
But they give him one moment, and they're just like, you're ready.
He's like, you're right. That was easy.
Yeah,
I was kind of hoping they would have a scanner's prison that shuts off their abilities or something, like the plastic prison.
We want X-Men.
You put him in the Faraday cage or something, and you can't. Yeah. Maybe in the sequels.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, who knows?
Whatever the equivalent of a padded room is for a scanner, you know, put them in
or
that.
They have that they have that necklace thing. It's like, this dampens your abilities.
Sequels. I'm sure sequels. It had to be there.
I love a sequel.
By the time they got to Scanner's New World Order
what to do now.
The takeover.
So anyway, he tracks his way through the underground, right?
He goes to an art show. Because he's trying to find his way to Michael Ironside, so he's got to find his associates. And one of the associates they track down is an artist who is a scanner or has associations with Michael Ironside.
Oh, wait a second.
He's kind of like, oh.
Yep, we're inducting someone to the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame. This is artist. He is played by actor Robert Silverman.
Okay, he was in
the and we have also seen him in Existence. He was Darcy Nader.
I think that was one of the NPCs, wasn't it?
He was.
Okay.
Who just kept on a loop. Until...
Oh, was he one of the... Okay. All right.
Yep.
Gotcha.
He may have worked in the shop. The what was it? The fish. The
there was a fish
Chinese
monger.
Restaurant.
Oh yeah.
No, okay. No. There was a lot of gross shit in that movie.
He was also a hydroholic in Waterworld.
Yeah.
Okay.
Waterworld's gonna be that movie that ties everything together.
Yes.
Welcome, Robert.
Everyone was in that movie. Yeah.
To the Saturday Night Freak Show.
Bravo, bravo, sir.
It feels like he's been in a lot of in this movie. The artist who lives inside his head.
He's a good. I like him.
I love this character.
I like him. I like his scenes. I like what he does.
I don't blame his lifestyle either.
No. Like, he says a lot of things that all anxious people
are thinking. Everything he says, yeah. I'm like, this man makes sense to me.
What does he say? I have a lot of friends. I don't like them.
I don't want them.
But I don't want them. Yeah. But I have them. Yeah.
I know people.
But even related more.
But even his setup of like, I don't sell art directly to everyone. Talk to my art dealer. Yes. Love that. Being like, I make stuff. Someone sells it for me. No people interaction. Like
his art keeps him sane.
And he's got a dope studio. Cool. It's big. It's big enough to fit this giant head. Barn.
Literally.
Yeah. It's like what, 30-foot head that they go massive. That's out of plaster, just laying on its side, and then
he just has a couch.
He walks inside of it and there's a couch in there. Yes, it's wonderful.
Wouldn't you like to just go inside your own head and take a seat?
No, not in mine. I don't.
No, scared.
Not in mine. Right.
I work hard to shut off. Like, I live in there. I know what's in there. I don't want to go in.
Yeah.
Well, his appearance in the movie is short-lived because he's like on a line. Is that what we're saying? He's not on good team, bad team. He's like, I'm staying out of it. He just wants
to make art.
Yeah. Right. He figured out a way to focus his energies where he doesn't have to be part of any of it.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't do that anymore.
We all want.
That means he gets blown away. There's a bunch of assassins in this movie that show up. One of the great ones.
All
the shotguns point outside the van as they're driving next to the limo later on,
like the slatted windows of the flip open and shotguns.
Yes,
no. These shotgun guys come in there and they blast the artist away, and then
so many people are getting blown away. Yeah.
But our hero is able to psychic blast them back because now he's like the hero guy. Cameron Vale is told to us that by the doctor that he's a special scanner, right? Mm-hmm. We don't really know. Why? This is, of course, setting up that somehow he's going to be like a super powerful. He's the most powerful scanner. Is that what we get out of this?
He's the chosen one.
Right. He's Neo. He is.
But he also doesn't. He kind of acts selfishly. So, it's like he's the chosen one, but he's not necessarily on like a hero's journey, if that makes sense. He's the most powerful, but he's not.
Right.
Because he's doing somebody else's, I guess, like a process. Right. He's
not doing his own bidding.
Yeah.
But he does have the, I guess, part of the hero's journey, the of self-discovery, right?
He is doing that, yes, even if he is as robotic as he can be.
Maybe that's, it just didn't come through for me.
He's finding out who he is.
I think that's part of it.
100%.
He doesn't feel like a human. Like,
no.
Somebody says you're not a human at some point to him, and I'm like, what? What are they talking about?
I mean, that was just someone just talking on set, and they're just like, that's a good line.
You're not even human.
If you would have pulled a rubber mask off and been a robot underneath at the end of this movie, I would have been like, that performance makes sense.
Wouldn't have questioned it at all.
Well, he meets the star of the movie, according to the billing.
Oh.
The top billed actor is Jennifer O'Neill.
Okay.
Because she had been in Rio Lobo with John Wayne, right? The last, was that the last... not Howard Hawks. Was it the last Howard Hawks movie?
Maybe. But
anyway, she was also in The Psychic, the Lucio Fulci movie. So she's the star. It teams up with him as they go through. She's like a doctor, a psychiatrist, or what is her function? She basically has the...
I don't know. There's just like a commune of these...
Rebel scanners.
Yeah,
there's always little groups and everything. You got the big
group. Like scan together.
Yeah.
They're like a bunch of scanner hippies.
Scanner orgies.
Yeah. We will all become one.
Feel each other's feelings.
Yep.
It does feel like that. It feels like a weird sex cult.
It does.
I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to explore your abilities, I'm sure it gets to that point at some point.
No, did we not just talk about, like, a week or two ago that mankind's always like, can I eat it? Can I fuck it? When they discover something new? You think the first person with psychic abilities didn't use it to mentally jerk off?
If I could feel what you're feeling as we fuck, that would be...
Right, but there's, you know... I don't know how to say it, but it's just like courtesy. You're just like, we don't get to that point.
I think they're all
like, right off the bat. We'll get
Sean,
there.
There's only 247 of them.
Right, but you got to figure
if you
each
find
other
another
out.
One, you're going to just
like,
do
oh,
it.
All right, we're the same. Like, all right, what? Like, how do we explore the extent of our powers? Like, you get there.
I guarantee there is one person that night that yeah. me is like, all right, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say the elephant in the room.
Oh, no.
Can you jerk me off with your brain?
You just have to think
yes.
it. Yeah.
Yes.
You know automatically once you
say
connect
it out loud,
them.
Someone who was scanning with them was like, I
yeah,
see your
yeah.
thoughts.
Like, yeah. They know what they're thinking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's there. It's
yeah.
definitely
they
there.
Just put it out there.
Yes.
They meet around a little magic mushroom lamp. Did you see that?
Oh, was, yeah. it, was it mushroom?
Yeah. Oh, it was a little mushroom in the middle of the table.
Do you have a lava lamp? Please tell
it
me
was,
that
yeah, but
something
it,
of that sort. Mm-hmm. Do you have lava lamps on your socks right now, Colin?
Yes, I do.
I thought so.
I'm kind of surprised there was no line along the lines of like, you have no idea what levels we can experience pleasure or something like that. Yeah, I thought they were going to yeah, say yeah. something yeah. Yeah. to
right,
that effect.
Right, but yeah. just because it, but it's not the like the line this yeah. movie's going through. They no. don't explore it, but
it's not
there.
Interesting
that's
in
part
that,
of the
yeah.
come and join our yes. team. Because you know we've yeah. explored the
right.
boundaries.
We explore yeah. each other. Yeah. You'll find
demolition
yeah.
type
like
sex.
Society,
yeah. Yeah.
society sex.
We, but why, in the no. brain. Yeah. But in the
why would you say that? Why would you bring that
just
up
to bring
when
that
so
up.
Many people do not like that experience?
I don't want
to
think about that.
Okay. Exactly.
So the assassins come in, the shotguns, kapow, everybody's dead. So
I feel
we're
like
on
they should
the
have been
run.
Able to stop those assassins before they
right
did.
With the. Mm-hmm.
But I know yeah. they were busy doing other things.
Was there a moment? Tell me if this was actually happening. There's a lot of like Michael Ironside's face superimposed over other people.
It's the yeah. show that he's in charge of these people, that he's controlling.
Is he them?
Them? Yes. That is the point of that. Is that because they show him over the face of the two assassins who come in yeah. and shotgun everybody. So he is controlling them to go
so
in there.
He
and do
is
that.
Them at the yes. moment they're doing that. Because yes. later, Jennifer O'Neill appears as a guy's mother. So it's like,
yes.
you know. And then there was a scene where Cameron goes into, he gets into, what was the biotech company?
Biocarbon Amalgamate.
He gets in there and we see him, you know, and he's like, I took the place of one of his employees. And you're like, was he doing that psychically or was he
oh,
physically
like
there?
Was the employee still there, but he was just,
yeah.
Oh, interesting. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
They
we
didn't,
see
but they
him,
didn't do
but...
anything to say that. So I'm going to say that he just like beat up a dude and took his suit.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm going with.
Well, he tracks it back ultimately to this pharmaceutical company.
Right.
Where he sees that Revick apparently is in charge of it.
He is. But where did that pharmaceutical company come from, Colin?
Well, how can we find this out? Because we have computers and they have, we have to, you know, ask for access granted to it. And we get a readout that says this is part of Project RIPE.
I hate this name.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Real close
terrible.
To another word, isn't it?
Yeah. Real, yeah. But and just RIPE just doesn't sit. I don't like that word.
No, it's not a
it's
good
not a good
one.
Word.
So
it's not. Well, let's put it this way: it's not used well in our society.
No,
let's
it's
put
not.
It that way.
And our hero. Well, that's why David Cronenberg. Uses
yeah, that's
it,
like,
right?
It's exactly like, why yeah. he used it.
But this is pointing our heroes back to the original company, Consys. What was it?
Consec.
Right.
Yes.
So there's this whole subplot involving, I guess, a major character in the movie, which is the Consec head of security.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what's his deal? What's he doing in this? I mean, is this like a? It's a significant part of the movie, but is
truly.
It relevant to the plot?
I don't know what's happening. Yeah.
we did yep. lose a lot at a certain point in this movie.
He's just he's like the mall cop in Mallrats.
Oh no! Oh wow!
Right?
Okay.
Like it's just this weird subplot that doesn't need to happen, but it's happening.
Mm-hmm. I'll go with that. Anyone, I haven't seen Mallrats. No, I haven't seen Mallrats in so long.
Nope.
Right. Not since we did it here, probably. I think we did Mallrats here, and that's the last time I've seen it.
Well, he's but, like, yeah.
It's just the mall cop that's hunting Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird subplot that doesn't need to be happening.
Right. He is he is a cop. Like he is
working for Consec, but he disagrees with the doctor.
But also, who's he working for?
Let's see. That's
he has secret meetings in a subway stop with somebody who moves their suitcase, but
it's
obvious. Revick. It's obvious.
Yeah.
It's Revick.
So he's like inside the
so he's
organization.
The double agent, yeah.
Yep. And he spends an awful
if a double
lot of
agent,
time
because it only like
It gets apparent pretty quick that who he's working for.
Right. But I hesitate to say double agent because it's like, I think this company is set up from the beginning to like, it works for Revick. And I think only Dr. Ruth doesn't know what's going on.
But how
everyone
is that
else
possible?
Seems to.
There's a great scene. A great, I don't know. It stands out. It's a horrible scene where all of a sudden Dr. Ruth. We get voiceover.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He is losing his goddamn mind.
He loses his, necessarily understand what's happening here.
I don't either.
Yeah, because this is what I want to nail down. What is happening in this scene? Right. Because you know, the heroes have approached and they're like, we know that, like,
we eventually return to where we started and realize who's running the organization we started from.
Well, which the is the drug ephemeral, which is used to you know, control scanner abilities is being distributed by Revick over at the pharmaceutical company around the world.
Right.
And it ties somehow back to CONSEC. So they've come back
to CONSEC. Because Dr. Ruth sold his pharmaceutical company to CONSEC.
And
he invented it.
And confronted with this information, Dr. Ruth begins going like, oh, this is, I shouldn't have done this. This experiment should have ended in his head in voiceover. And I'm like, is somebody scanning him? What is happening? And then he walks into a room and starts talking to himself. Mm-hmm. And then it gets even better because then the cop dude walks in, and usually when you're talking to yourself, you stop when somebody else comes in the room. He just keeps going, talking to himself. It's great.
I feel like this was supposed to be cut against some other person, and they totally took it out of the movie. He should be. I feel like he should be having a conversation with somebody who's in his head.
Oh, a scanner. Okay.
Yeah, a scanner of some sort. Makes more sense. Some other character. Hmm. But the other side of the conversation was just cut out of the movie.
Hmm. It's
You think he's having a conversation with Revick?
Somebody. I don't know who. But
Revick seems to already know this information. Yeah. So basically what he's saying, this is the
this
big
is me
exposition.
Saying I don't know what he's doing, but it feels like he's supposed to have a conversation with somebody, but the other side is not in the movie.
What I took from it, because he starts having the psychic conversation with Cameron in the hallway, but Cameron's gone. He's like, he's done. He's just on his own mission now.
Right.
But he's still having the conversation. So I think the entire time is just him, like, losing his mind, but in his mind he's talking to Cameron.
I think so too, because
that's
Cameron has the
it.
Reaction when he gets killed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with that because, I mean, it makes the most sense, and I don't necessarily have anything else to go against.
I think he's just like in the conversation, whether Cameron's listening or not.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So he's still talking to him even though he's out wandering around.
Correct. Yeah.
And it's the big exposition dump, which is going to reveal that Dr. Ruth created ephemeral, gave it to pregnant women. And so this is how scanners got started in the first place, because it's a side effect of the drug.
They're mutants.
Yeah, they're mutants.
They're mutants.
Welcome back to X-Men.
Yep.
Yep. So Revick, he already knows this. Revick's like on top of everything. He's already figured all this stuff out, right? So
that's why he runs a whole thing of
those damn firstborn, I tell you.
Right. Yeah, the fucking smartasses.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, does Cameron and, what was it, Kim, the Jennifer O'Neill character, who,
Kim Oberst,
top build, but doesn't really seem to do much in the movie. She has a scanner at some point.
Lady scanner.
Mm-hmm. There is a scene where they still don't have this information, even though it seems like it was given to us through the doctor, right, in this conversation. So the doctor says, in order to access Project Ripe, you're going to have to scan the computer, because a computer has a nervous system just like a person, and so you're going to need to scan it.
Yeah. Yes.
And
this
so
is a real 11th hour, oh, look what we can do now, like, to add into this story.
But this kind of goes to my thought process here, is that both the scenes with all the exposition dumping, like, and we're just going to, you know, now he suddenly has the ability to scan a computer, are like last minute rewrites of something
that
we had to scrap a bunch of pages and come up with something to shoot it tomorrow.
Right.
You know,
the other thing about this movie. It was, they were writing day of for so much that I don't think.
Oh, were they?
Oh, yeah. They started production on this with no script. And they were writing every single day.
It's kind of amazing it turned out as well as it did.
Based on what I read, it's amazing that it turned out this way. Because they were writing stuff the day of, figuring stuff out. Mm-hmm. There was not a lot of stuff known.
It's impressive.
Before they were shooting this movie.
Yeah, I guess it's not, because the only place where it really feels like that is the Dr. Ruth monologue, right? That feels like that was written this morning, right, and what are we going to do?
What do we do with this character? Yeah. Oh, he goes nuts and gets killed by our head of security.
There's a lot of confusion in this movie.
There's a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
So, he hacked the computer before he went. They go to the doctor's office. They go to they do, because that's how he gets the doctor's name. We think this isn't in the movie. We're interpolating that basically he hacks the computer, gets the name of a general practitioner physician who was given the drug.
The phone booth, right? We're talking about?
Yeah.
All right. The phone booth. This is the confrontation between Vale and the head of security.
The cop.
Yeah.
Happens remotely. Yeah.
Because right, they realize, because Vale's calling in on a payphone but the server is connected to the same system. So he's trying to access the same information. The cop realizes this and is like, shut him down. I want to hurt him.
How can I cripple him?
How do I cripple both at the same time?
Yeah, their nervous systems are connected.
So we got a bunch of scientists in a room going, I don't know, we can do this. Like, I like this scene just because of the scientists back and forth talk back. And maybe also because of the reactions of the scientists when everything blows up. It was just like,
yeah, that guy in the back
wide open and just like, what's going on?
But how are they going to do it? What is the solution to this?
What
self-destruct.
Yeah, it's like the self-destruct system.
Yeah, but
they do it on their computer hoping that it will also self-destruct the scanner.
But they have planted little bombs throughout the computer circuit board that are wired up to a button with a big red flashing thing that you have to unlock with a key.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What's not believable about this?
What's your problem?
I also have all of my computer systems
ready to go. Access to Holly's big red button.
Yeah. not many of you do.
Total meltdown. So they trigger that at Wild Duder's dialing in He's got a phone up to his ear literally. In a phone booth, and then I liked it. That was a good effect.
The melting phone.
Yeah, there's a lot of good effects at this point.
The internet's melting in real time. Liquefied internet.
Right. I'm gonna show this to my kid. Like, this is what the internet will do to you.
Yeah.
If you stay on too long.
Yes.
You will melt. Computer banks will explode. Security guys will be killed as every scientist is blown through a window.
Yep.
At this point.
All because you stayed logged on for too long.
Yep.
Yeah. This would be a great commercial for
great
that.
Great PSA.
20 years ago.
It seems like
AOL. Yeah.
An Alamo Draft House should have had this up on there.
Yeah. That would be it. But they all get blown through windows and everything. Everyone gets blown up. The security guy is dead. He gets blown through a thing.
What's that Tesla quote? You will live to see man-made horrors beyond your comprehension. Like That's this.
Well, he also starts fires at gas stations and everything because he destroys power lines.
All this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he survived somehow. I don't know.
Doesn't make
I don't
any
know.
Sense. Feels no, like his brain should have been melted.
That everything else blows up, but not him.
Yeah.
Okay, like. When you plug a bunch of stuff in and your circuit breaker blows, everything turns off. Like, that's what should have happened to his brain.
It should have been something that affected him at that point.
His brain should have melted out of his ears, like the phone.
Yeah, out of his nose.
Yeah.
But he's like, nope. I'm fine. I'm super powerful.
Like, I'm fucked up, but I can still go. And go on to confront the bad guy.
Are you
guy.
Picturing Jim Carrey at the end of Batman Forever?
Yes. Yes!
They follow the lead then that I think, the movie doesn't say it, that they got a name of a doctor. They go there find out that they're still prescribing this drug to pregnant women.
Yep.
And one of the pregnant women in the waiting room.
Scanner baby.
Has a scanner baby in her tummy.
Yeah,
she does.
And he's this kid, future Hitler, because he's scanning people in utero. Making strangers.
He's like, there's a new mind out there. Let's see what, and scans Jennifer O'Neill. She's like, there's a baby out there that scanned me.
The reveal. It's like, they're doing it on purpose. This is what's happening. The side effect of this drug is that we're creating scanner babies.
And the...
And she gets, like, fucking darted through a window.
Because this is a plot convenience, right? Yeah. Well, how do we lead from here to Revic? Well, Revic shows up and darts them both.
Yes.
Knocks them out. And then they wake up in his pad, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Back in his office where
Cameron wakes up. She's just out.
Out of the movie, basically, for all intents and purposes.
Oh, yeah, she comes in.
She's passed out.
She's in another room. Yeah. She's fine.
Yeah, as it's mentioned.
And so this is the big showdown that we've been waiting for between...
Face acting.
Cameron, and Revic. So we learn shocking things.
That they're brothers.
Yeah. You're my kid brother.
Feels like a soap opera twist.
Right. Yes. Like Dr. Ruth. It really does.
Yeah.
Dr. Ruth was our father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if literally.
We don't know who the mother is.
I was going to say, you tell me if it's literally or
I
not.
Thought it felt like it was literal.
I think it is literal because they are the most powerful ones and come from the lineage that would allow them to be the most powerful.
Dr. Ruth is dead at this point. I don't know if we said he's dead. He was killed by the cop.
Yeah, he killed by the cop. So, yes, that those two, Michael Ironside and Vale, come from Dr. Ruth or his experience or what have you.
His loins, yes.
Yeah, his loins, yes. From his loins. They are the most powerful ones and they will have the face off.
The most powerful loins?
Yeah. And someone's going to have powerful loins, Holly.
He gives him the veil. You are my brother. Yes. Join me, and we will rule the galaxy together as brothers.
Yes.
It's Empire.
That is it.
And Vale is like, no. And I guess I don't, again, other than, you know, just the movie's kind of, you know, it's got like a morality line. It's like, no, this guy is good. But I don't understand. Even in this moment, I was still going like, I don't know why he is like, no. I think he's just like lawful good, I guess. Right.
I guess. But it doesn't really make sense.
No, it's just because we have to have the big showdown. So
I feel like at this point you'd just be like, well, let's talk about this. Like, I need more information. My brother. Like what is this?
Right. There should be more conversation.
Need family therapy. Like,
right. You haven't killed me, so we should talk.
Let's talk about this. Yeah.
But then it's like, well, you're acting like them. And so now I'm just going to suck your brain dry and become
we're gonna
you.
We're going to do this scanner way. I'm going to suck your brain dry.
Actual quote.
Actual quote.
Yep. So he's gonna take his entire personality or something. Yeah, then the big special effects scene happens. Which is pretty
veinage,
good.
Just the like veinage. Arm veins and then face veins.
Oh,
like
face pustules.
This was great.
And then it like spurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the veins are showing up, but then it's disgusting. Like it's too much vein and there's blood spurting from
then
the face.
Like peeling his skin off.
And then Vale's like clawing at it and just like, oh fuck, he's losing. Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is really well done at this point because it's a face off between the two, and it looks like Michael Ironside is winning.
Yeah,
because
Michael Ironside does better face acting than Vale. So I was unsure of who was had the upper hand,
right? But Vale is also bleeding a lot more, he's pulling away,
but he looks like he's lost, and then his eyes explode out of
his
head.
His eyes explode, oh my god,
Ironside's eyes turn white,
But the other guy starts on fire back and forth.
It's
great
chaos,
but then it cuts away from this because I thought somebody's gonna explode.
I'm disappointed that we cut away.
Shit, the Fury. Anybody seen the Fury with Kirk Douglas? And
no,
that's another psychic and somebody explodes at the end of that movie. It's a Brian De Palma movie. I have to watch that one on this. But that had a good like covered by three cameras guy exploding.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, that sounds great.
That didn't happen here. But
no,
Jennifer O'Neill wakes up next door.
Yep.
And she wanders in.
Vale starts on fire. Let's just say his hands start on fire and the rest of his body starts on fire. And we're like, oh shit, he's done. He lost.
Yeah.
Like we think the good guy's losing.
Yeah. She comes in and his corpse, his burned, charred corpse is on the floor.
Solid. Yeah.
But in the corner, hiding under a blanket.
A coat.
Trench coat. The trench coat.
That's a lot of trench coats in this movie.
Yeah. Yep. A lot of trench coats.
Is Revic.
Yep. But is it Revic?
But we don't know that. She just says, Vale? Or Cam? Or whatever she calls him.
She's like, huh? Is anybody here?
Yeah, no, she calls him. She calls his name.
And his voice comes
out,
right?
And he's like, I'm here. Mm-hmm. But it's Revic's voice.
It's his voice. It's Cameron's voice in Revic's body.
I thought it was Revic's voice.
I thought it was
Vale's eyes.
Yeah. Because they blew out of Vale's head.
Yep.
It's like, we won. We won.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in Revic's body now? I guess he killed Revic by taking over the fight,
he took over Revic's body.
They became one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that what Revic wanted?
Revic wanted to be the one in control, which he eventually was not at the end. Yeah. So he lost that battle. Because we saw the
That was corpse. The battle when he said, I'm going to suck your brain dry. We're going to become one as we should.
Yep. Right, but that's, who's going to
That's what
it?
Happens. It's just not what happened the way he wanted.
Right. The other person yeah. is in control.
It's a good in because we don't get the the final decision on screen as you wanted. Mm-hmm. But we do get a nice reveal that, oh, we come in. There's a corpse on the floor. We think he's lost. But then he's won.
Yeah,
and that means that he now controls.
Story-wise, maybe not.
It's not as satisfying, but yeah. I get it.
Does that mean he controls the scanner underground and will direct the path of the scanners toward the path
of
light?
Yes, or the good side?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right, well, that's scanners. That's how scanners. It wraps up until Scanners 2 comes around and all the scanner soldiers running amok. All the babies are born.
Right? There's so much to explore in the sequels.
And the remake that was never made by Darren Lynn Bozeman.
Yep.
And the TV series that was proposed.
Also, yep.
Wasn't the last one like 2022? Yep. HBO Max tried to make a Scanners TV.
What would a TV series be about, honestly? Is there enough here for a TV series?
If Stranger can make, Things. If they can make two sequels and then two spinoffs, I think there's enough here to do it.
Yeah.
It'd be Alien Nation where these people, it's regular, where it people just, are just in society as scanners.
It just doesn't feel like...
Oh, no. There's so much you could do with
I feel
this.
Like episodically, though, I can't imagine every episode of a Scanners TV show would be interesting. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think there's so much here.
Oh, if it's HBO Max, I mean...
I feel like, you're getting head explosions one every three episodes.
Yeah,
two episodes of
Expedition.
I feel like it would be Stranger Things meets The Last of Us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably
there's a lot of possibility.
All right. Well, we're going to tell you whether or not you should watch Scanners. We're going to go around the table and give you our individual takes on the movie. But before we do that, we're going to have to summon our mailman to answer some of your mail. And so, Igor, bring us the mail.
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
Why, thank you, Igor.
This pen has been down here.
For 30 years.
For 30 years.
I don't even know if it works.
How does it still have ink?
Yes. Does it still?
Oh, does it? Oh, no.
It works.
Okay.
It works.
30-year-old pen.
Yep.
30-year-old pen.
I was like, because
forever.
We only use it maybe once every other month. Maybe.
Right. Yeah. Mark off a movie. Yeah. I still have one of those pens from the, you remember the Saw events? Just like put your blood.
Yeah.
The blood donation Saw events they used to have back in the day.
For the movie Saw? They had a couple of times they did blood donations.
From
the syringe pen?
From 2007. I still have that thing. It still works.
We should let the good folks at home know how they can participate on this interactive portion of our show.
If they were scanners, they'd know.
That's true.
Facebook.com/ You didn't finish it.
Facebook.com/
Freak Show.
On X.
Sorry, I fucked everything up. At Sat Freak Show.
You can email us.
SaturdayNightFreakShow@yahoo.com.
Or you can follow along on Threads and Instagram
Colin
at Saturday
is not
Night Freak Show.
We have figured that out.
And they already knew this. We didn't even have
to say it.
MF Mad, the keeper of the Saturday Night Freak Show Wall of Fame, gave us the information about Robert Silverman's inductation.
Thank you, sir.
But also
the Lord's work.
For the Hallway of Fame.
Okay.
We have Sonny Forbes, the actor Sonny Forbes, who was the killer in the attic in Scanners.
Oh,
the killer in the attic.
He was also in Shivers as the garbage room man.
Sure.
And he was in Sean's favorite, Kathy's Cursed, as La Inspecteur.
Oh, because he was also Canadian, because I think that's a Canadian movie as well.
Yep.
Mother's a bitch.
Your mother's a bitch.
You said that while watching this.
Yeah. That's a great
May
great
it live
line.
Forever.
Yeah. How is that not a gift going around the internet constantly?
Yeah.
Very small group.
Yeah. Only part of that movie I remember.
Yeah. The snakes. You remember all the snakes?
Yeah, snakes in a drawer. The old guy's got snakes.
He was just dangling them around.
The little girl's got shit on her face who looks diseased from
most of the movie.
Yeah,
there's a doll in the attic or something.
Yeah.
That guy's slipped in mud running in that scene and looked like he really hurt himself.
I don't remember. Yeah. That was so bad. That movie was so bad. I remember your mother was a bitch.
That's all I got.
About tonight's movie, Scanners, Michael Whitaker writes in and says, oh man, this movie I remember seeing in the video store when I was a kid. I remember being intrigued by the plot because it involved essentially superpowers, and as a young kid who liked comics, I was desperate for anything remotely superhero adjacent. Yep. Also fairly sure I got this in Trancers confused a lot. Mm. Both franchises seemingly had multiple sequels that would litter the shelves. That's true.
Yeah. What was Trancers about?
That was like a Terminator kind of ripoff where, well, you could send yourself back in time and occupy a person in the past.
Ooh,
so oh, cool. Jack, the cop Jack Death, Tim Thomason, has to go. Helen Hunt is in that movie.
Ooh, oh, wow. All
has
right.
to go back.
All right.
It's a Charles
Band. Putting it on the list.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised you haven't seen Trancers.
It's been a thing that is just like, oh, I know Trancers.
And then there's sequels to that, you know, multiple, many years later. Yeah.
Ooh, all right. On the list.
Nelson Nascimento says, David Cronenberg. Even here, he was already dabbling in the line with man becoming one with machine.
Yep.
To this day, it's probably top three Cronenberg.
Yeah. 2 years later, he would make Videodrome, and we'd have that whole mix of everything.
The new flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The new flesh.
Travis Legler says this is another one of those movies that we all know that classic scene, even if you've never seen the movie all the way through. It took me a while to really watch this. Oddly enough, it was after Michaela got me on the Phantasm series. A friend said I had to watch this movie. Needless to say, you should always remember the Cronenberg experience. It's a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Last week we watched a movie called The Devil Rides Out. Pat Hatfield says, I love this movie. It was great to see Sir Christopher Lee in a rare good guy part, and I wish Hammer made more of these non-Dracula vampire Frankenstein movies. In my opinion, giant spiders have no place in a movie about the occult, and the big guy with the bulging eyes was rather ridiculous. But other than that, this movie, at least to me, is a winner.
Yeah.
Is giant spider in that movie?
Yeah.
They summon the inside of
I love a sort of.
It's a holographic.
Yeah, it's an effect that didn't work the way they intended.
I'm still waiting for someone to write in and let us know what the third installment of the
Christopher Lee
Devil trifecta.
Yeah, we got to find the third one.
We got to find it.
Yeah.
The week before that, we watched a movie called Splice. G-Money. Writes in, said, I would describe this similarly to how John Landis described Shape of Water to me. It's like Creature from the Black Lagoon, but she fucks him. Or Frankenstein in this case.
Yep.
This is in the genre of movies like Teeth, Feast, where you wouldn't recommend it to just anybody.
Yep.
Correct.
Yeah. I've been wanting to bring Teeth to the freak show for a long time.
I haven't seen that.
it's an experience.
And Jerry Fruhold says, I really like Graveyard Rats, the episode that Vincenzo Natali directed for Cabinet of Curiosities.
Oh, nice. Oh, okay. Yeah.
He says, I think it was my favorite episode. Cube, which Vincenzo Natali did prior to Splice, was a fun movie night with friends and the Devil's Lettuce way back then.
Yeah.
Splice was cool, too, but maybe not one to recommend.
Exactly. Yeah.
We love the Devil's Lettuce.
Yep.
And not recommending Splice to people.
Three of us did, Sean. Yeah. Three of us recommended Splice. Now we're going to talk about tonight's movie, Scanners, starting with
Michaela. Okay. What did you think about Scanners?
It's so gentle.
It was whispered.
A head blew up.
Yeah. Michaela. I mean, there's a reason we've covered so much Cronenberg on the show, because he has a distinct style and perspective, but he does it in a different way each time. I never feel like his movies are redundant, even if they hit on some of the same themes. And I'm always down for whatever he's going to do, even though it might cross the line and repel me. I appreciate that this movie doesn't get into like a really repellent territory. I think it's pretty palatable as far as Cronenberg goes. Like, if someone's going to be introduced, I think this is one of the better ones to introduce them with, because it's not nearly as gross as like The Fly or Videodrome or Existence, but it's still gross enough. And I mean, it's a classic for a reason. It does have some points where editing or writing or something didn't line up, and it's annoying because you can see what they're trying to do and they're just barely off from nailing it. And it's just like, it feels like with a few tweaks it could be even better. But I mean, I think this and Videodrome are the only Cronenberg movies on Criterion, I think. Well, and Naked Lunch. But I'm really curious as to what Criterion's logic was behind picking Scanners out of all the Cronenberg stuff, just because it like
license became available.
Yeah, I guess. Right.
I think that's like, because they're like, well, everyone loves The Fly. We can like,
but they usually go for like the biggest cultural impact, sure, right? Yeah, and like, yeah. I guess if you talk about memes and reaction gifs, this does have a big impact there.
Criterion,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, no, they did Curious Case of Benjamin Button instead.
Yeah, that was what I thought. Yeah, was a big seller.
Yeah. So. But anyways, yeah, I would recommend it. I think it's worth a watch. Holly, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think that that Cronenberg has certain beats that he always hits for his movies. But it's not, like you said, it's not redundant. Like, he does something new. It has a different feel. Like, you can tell the similarities with some of his other stuff, but this is a totally different movie from The Fly or Videodrome. Like, it's just, he's got his style, but his content changes enough that it doesn't feel like the same thing. But I agree with you that there's certain holes or misfires that, like, I just don't know.
Certain holes.
Yeah, certain holes. There's just certain misfires that I think, had he spent more time on it, I think it would have been a really cool movie overall. I mean, it's iconic and it's a good movie, but it could have been really cool. Like, there was so much potential for this to be like an ultimate Cronenberg movie and not have those missteps. But yeah, I'm still gonna recommend it. It's iconic. I hadn't seen this movie in fucking forever. Like, I saw this for the first time probably when I took film history at Rock Valley when I was in my 20s. It's probably the first time I watched this
That'll
movie.
Do it. Yep.
Yeah. So I didn't remember a lot of it. It is a little slow, and it does have some holes that I wish were a little more polished. But I'm still going to recommend it. Solid movie. I agree with you that it's a good starter Cronenberg movie for sure.
We're looking for polished holes.
I always want polished holes.
If you're listening out there.
I always want polished holes.
Polish your holes, yes. And we'll be good.
Fill them in, polish them. Yeah, that's all I want. So yeah, I'm going to recommend it. Colin, what'd you think?
It might be the singular dissenting voice tonight. I'm
surprised.
I like David Cronenberg movies.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I have always had a problem with this movie.
Ooh, all right.
Yes. I remember seeing it when I was a little kid, and it was on TV, and they edited the head explosion.
Oh,
but
man.
I remembered, like,
that's no fun.
The imagery was still strong enough that you remember, you know, and then later on
you remember something happened.
Yeah. And I, you know, I remember bits and pieces about the movie, that it was, you know, pharmacological disaster that created the scanners, and they were, you know, veins popping out of people's head, scanner battles. That stuff was cool. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, and I think it carried over to tonight too. The lead actor is so bland.
I don't
really understand his motivation. That could be me.
Right.
You know.
And whether it should be that way or not.
Right. I think they are writing it toward, like, well, you're blank and, you know, you're doing whatever you've been told. Kind of, you've been programmed to be this assassin, which, you know, creates this kind of like, who's right and who's wrong.
Programmed to be assassin is saying a lot for what he's doing in this movie.
Yeah.
He doesn't even try to assassinate anybody, but yeah.
Oh, right. I guess he's just undercover. He's supposed to kill Revic, I think.
Right,
or get close to him.
But we don't even get close to that.
Yeah.
Like, that being an option. I wouldn't. Right, yeah.
Find the head of the organization.
Even he says that at some point. Yeah. It's like, I think they want me to kill him, but even he's not clear on what he's doing there.
There was... eventually, there's like logic bombs where this movie just like it deteriorates. I think in those scenes with Patrick McGowan and like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
And
like, there wasn't more clarity on what his character should be doing.
Yeah.
This is why we get his character doing whatever he's doing in the last moments of his character.
But the concept is cool, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I think we were talking about that. It's like, as and you know, but now it feels like, well, you know, we had X-Men and that kind of covers it. Or Firestarter. And Firestarter in this kind of, you know, it's like, are you gonna go with a similar, if you have a person who has an ability to read minds or you know, telekinesis, I guess, eventually, you know, you're either going to be, I'm hunted and I'm running, you know, the whole time, or I'm doing the hunting to try and find the other guy.
Right.
And eventually you're going to have like the scanner face
or
off.
I'm ruling the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just that story didn't really jibe to me.
Yeah.
It feels like there's something else you could do with it, but I can't really put my finger on what it is. But it's like you could have done...
Right. Well, no. With people with that ability, there's so many stories you can tell.
Yeah.
They did decide to
And we're going to go with the scanner army thing. Right. Secret scanner underground. It just maybe didn't appeal to me all that much. I don't know. This movie leaves me cold. I know that Cronenberg's accused of that in his style. He's got a very cold style. He picks a cold leading guy. So I don't know. I didn't really dig Scanners aside from it starts strong. Yeah. with one of, like I said, one of the greatest shock moments in movie history.
Yeah.
And I mean, to have that is an achievement that probably makes the movie worth seeing. I'm not going to recommend it to you, I think, based on the movie that's in it. But that's my personal thing. Sean, what did you think?
So very interesting to hear everyone's thoughts about this, because and you're right in saying that probably one of the greatest shock moments in cinema. It's so funny that we watch it tonight and it doesn't, because we're so familiar with it. I will say, meme wise and culturally wise, that it is here and we all know it. And you get someone randomly and show them the scene, you're like, oh yeah, I know, I've seen that before. Like maybe the impact is dulled down because of that. When you're
expecting it,
right? When you're expecting it and you watch the whole thing around it, like you don't get that from it. I think it's a very interesting movie in how you look at it now and how we all feel about it, in 2024. Jesus. I haven't seen it. I'm bringing it here tonight, realizing that I have not seen it. I'm very familiar with a few scenes in this, but I have not seen this movie. I get the coldness. You're right about that. There is sort of a coldness to this movie, especially with the actors and kind of what's going on. I still liked it. I'm still going to recommend it just based on story-wise, I mean, historically. I enjoyed the movie, maybe because of who's the guy who plays Dr. Ruth?
Patrick McGoohan. He's really strong.
When you get a guy who can, like, just talk and you're just, like, interested in what he's going to say, like, he's got that scientific approach of just, like, yes, I understand. And just the way he delivers his dialogue and his scenes, like, he makes me interested. The lead actor, I wanted more from him and kind of maybe that role. It's a complex movie. It's going to make you feel some things. There's some really great parts, really intense parts. I can see it going either way for a lot of people. I'm going to recommend it tonight just because I did enjoy it, did have a good time with it. I like what they're talking about.
Dr. Ruth had Brian Cox vibes.
He did. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Like Brian Cox came to mind.
Yeah.
I'm just like, totally he would be good in that part as well. There's a lot to enjoy in this. There's a lot to, you can understand both sides of this movie, with people who have feelings for it. I'll recommend it. I think it was, it's a good movie. I still like it. I'll recommend it.
All right.
Scanners. Right.
Cronenberg Scanners.
But I understand anybody who would be like, yeah, I'm a little cold by it, because, it could leave you that way. But there you go.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Next week, we are going to watch a movie that's chosen by.
Hi. I don't know what we're going to watch next week.
Well, we're in Oscar season.
Oh.
We are going to be recording during Oscar season.
Last time that happened, we broke the news about the slap. Remember?
We did.
Did we?
We got to text in real time about it.
I guess we did.
Yeah.
That's funny.
We are going to watch.
It wouldn't be realized till next week.
Yeah.
Oh, are we watching an Oscar movie?
We are going to watch a movie that is filled with Oscar winners and nominees.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. But
it is a forgotten sci-fi movie called Sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. 2007. There you go. Danny Boyle, Sunshine?
Yeah. That's right. Perfect for daylight savings.
Chris Evans and
Killian Murphy.
Okay. I haven't watched this in a while.
Yeah. All right.
Perfect for daylight savings.
More sunshine.
No daylight will be saved in this movie. Sunshine.
This is
sunshine.
An intentional pick.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
All right. Sunshine next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. We hope you'll join us for that. And until then, ladies and germs, the basement is going dark.